Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta. Sporty greetings, Nnamdi.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Nnamdi, I was following you on social media before the recent Anthony Joshua Kubrat Pulev heavyweight title fight. And you predicted a brutal knockout victory by AJ. In fact, that's how AJ's promoter, Eddie Hearn, described it.
It was a composed performance. It was a brutal performance. It was exactly what he needed going into 2021. Obviously, he hasn't boxed for a year. Got 8 great rounds in and got a brutal knockout victory.
Nnamdi, break down AJ's brutal knockout victory.
Yes, before the fight, I predicted a brutal knockout in less than 10 rounds. And exactly that's what happened. If you look at the fight closely, the first 2 rounds were what we call the filling out rounds, whereby you try to figure out what your opponent will do, touch and go, jab, trying to set up the big right hand. And in the 3rd round, Anthony Joshua stepped it up and had Pulev in deep trouble. At that point, we saw 2 knockdowns. Pulev turned his back on the referee. The fight should have been stopped and called off because Pulev had no defense to hold back AJ. And AJ, according to some people, looking at the fight, AJ let him off the hook and allow him to come back into the fight. And then we're going to the 9th round. The 9th round, AJ came back and look at those uppercuts, Matt Sonny. Anybody that can take any of those uppercuts, you must have what we call iron chin. I think he ran like 3 or 4 different uppercuts right there inside the pocket, you know, which is very rare in the game for a heavyweight, for a big man. And the referee had to stop the fight. And all in all, it was a great fight. And he walked home with a win and kept his belt.
Nnamdi, kind of mixed reaction from the media about AJ's performance. What are your thoughts?
Sonny, the mixed reaction was because media and the fans expected more from the old AJ, the old AJ that will stand there when Pulev was in trouble in the 3rd round and go for the press for the knockout. But if you go back and look at the Andy Ruiz fight, he had Andy Ruiz on the floor and he tried to finish Andy Ruiz. That's how he got into trouble and got knocked out himself. So personally for me, AJ was smarter this time. He saw an opening to go in there and go for the kill. But deep down in his mind, he knows that if he goes in there wild, then he can get clipped and get knocked out. Mixed reaction from the fans because they felt, you know, AJ should have taken this guy out right away. And then AJ should have showed them the old AJ. But this is boxing. You know, it's not all about power or karufi like we say in Nigeria. It's about using your brain, trying to be smart to outsmart the other guy. Yes, the fight didn't end at the 3rd round, but it ended in a brutal way in the 9th round. He went home with his belt. Now we're talking about the monster fight, the super fight with Tyson Fury. If he had made some stupid mistake and got hit with some silly shots because he wanted to force the knockout, then we will start blaming him. Personally for me, he fought a smarter fight. He was rusty. But he will come back and then fix it, and then we'll wait for the super fight.
Nnamdi, there's also talk that Anthony Joshua must make a mandatory defense of his WBO title against the Ukrainian Oleksandr Usyk before any blockbuster bout with WBC champion Tyson Fury. What's your reaction?
Sonny, remember, mandatory is is once you have a belt, you must take the mandatory contender. And the mandatory contender right here is Oleksandr Usyk from Ukraine. His last win was against Chisora from Zimbabwe. Well, understand the selling point of the big mega super fight with Tyson Fury is that all the belts must be on the line for the undisputed title of the whole world. If WBO decides to strip Anthony Joshua for fighting Tyson Fury, then the Tyson Fury belt, there won't be four belts on the table. But on the other hand, Usyk may be given what we call in the fight game, step aside money to just allow this super fight to go on. On the other hand, Anthony Joshua may say, okay, I don't really need this WBO belt. I'm going to go for the super fight with Tyson Fury at the Wembley. That still can happen. So we don't know unless the Fury camp and the Anthony Joshua camp break bread, which they've just started doing Monday morning, right, in the UK. We will know what's going to happen. But right now, Usyk is in the position to fight Anthony Joshua one way or the other.
Namdi, if AJ vacates the WBO belt, who would Usyk fight? And if AJ does fight Usyk, when would that bout take place?
Sonny, if Anthony Joshua vacates the WBO belt, Usyk will then fight the next available contender. And the next available contender is Joy Joyce, Olympian from the UK, who recently beat Daniel Dubois. So if that cannot happen, he waits for the winner of Povetkin against Dillian White. So these are all matchups that can happen if Anthony Joshua vacates the WBO belt. If Joshua decides to go for the mandatory and take on Usyk for the WBO belt, so that when the super fight comes, Joshua will be stepping in with three belts and Tyson will come for with the fourth belt, which will be for the grand poobah for the title of the whole world. Anthony Joshua will then fight Usyk in the beginning of spring. So we're looking at somewhere around April, May in the UK to fulfill his mandatory. And once that is done, then the road is clear for the Tyson's super fight in summer 2021.
Namdi, you've been in the fight game a long time. In fact, for our VOA fight fans keeping score, Namdi has been delivering hard-hitting boxing commentary over our Voice of America airwaves for nearly 40 years. Namdi, what do you think Anthony Joshua should do next? And what happens to Tyson Fury?
Sonny, I have a different take here, which I don't think most fight fans want to hear. The meaning of the super fight is all the belts be on the line. Personally, I would want Anthony Joshua to go for the Usyk fight. Mind you, his last fight with Pulev, he won, but he didn't look that like we want him to look. That was from being rusty, from being out for 1 year. Usyk cannot hurt AJ. Usyk does not have the punch. But Usyk can be very tricky. He can make you look stupid. He can box your ears off. So if Anthony Joshua can cut off the ring and stay in his body, Anthony Joshua can stop Usyk. And with that sets the stage for the super fight, and this belt will be there with him. So he's not just giving up the belt, he fights Usyk. Usyk is not a threat if Anthony Joshua will just go in there, do what he needs to do. He can take him out in less than 12 rounds. What will happen to Tyson Fury? Mind you, Tyson Fury has been out of the ring since he fought Deontay Wilder. So him sitting out again, no, he will not sit out. He will find somebody like Agit Kabiel that he wanted to fight in December. Take an easy tune-up fight. Tune-up fights can be tune-out fights. And then wait for the super fight. So maybe Tyson Fury goes in there and knocks out a bomb or some guy, and Anthony Joshua destroys Usyk in spring. Then summer, we're ready. COVID is gone. We all can come out and enjoy ourselves. and see a super fight. That's the way I look at it.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more boxing insights from Namdi later this week. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. For more reaction to the Anthony Joshua Kubrat Pulev fight, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Nigerian boxing promoter and former heavyweight fighter, Big John Sinubu.
I know Anthony Joshua was going to defeat Kubrat Pulev. I didn't think at any time at all that Kubrat Pulev would be a threat to Anthony Joshua's heavyweight title. Some 6 years ago, when Kubrat Pulev was a much younger fighter, he got knocked out by Vladimir Klitschko. Right now, he's 39 years old and he's going against a 31-year-old heavyweight boxing champion of the world. I never saw him as a threat. In fact, the fight could have ended in as early as round 3 or round 4, but Anthony Joshua kept the fight going. He was actually exploring several other ways of fighting until he got the job done in round 9. As at the time when Kubrat Pulev turned his back on Anthony Joshua, the referee should have ended the fight, but no, he didn't. Well, Anthony Joshua has made us proud once again as Nigerians.
It's being speculated that Anthony Joshua will fight Tyson Fury in 2021. How do you think the fight will look like?
Now, the next big thing for Anthony Joshua is the undisputed heavyweight title clash between him and his arch rival Tyson Fury. Nothing should stop that fight. Unfortunately, the authorities may not allow us to see that fight, because right now Anthony Joshua already has a mandatory challenger for his WBO heavyweight title, and that one is Oleksandr Usyk, the man who had just graduated from the cruiserweight to the heavyweight division. The authorities are supposed to make Kubrat Pulev step down for the world to see this undisputed heavyweight clash between Anthony Joshua and his rock rival Tyson Fury. It's been 21 years since the world saw an undisputed heavyweight boxing champion of the world. The last one was Lennox Lewis.
Do you think Nigeria has potentials to produce a new Anthony Joshua in the future?
Now, you've also asked if Nigeria has potentials for more Anthony Joshua. Of course, the answer is yes. Boxing has always been Nigeria's strong point in sports, providing champions in as early as 1957, before Nigeria's independence. People like the late Ogun Dasi and the late Dick Tiger had already stamped Nigeria's name on the international sporting scene via boxing. Nigeria has already had the highest prize in sport, and that is the WBC heavyweight title won by Samuel Okon Peters in 2008. It's unfortunate that Nigeria has allowed this strong point in sports to die a natural death. The Nigerian government should wake up and promote this strong point in sport. That strong point I'm talking about is boxing. Efe Ajagba, a current Nigerian heavyweight boxer plying his trade abroad, is an example of the very many talents that lie in waste over here in Nigeria. He was born here and he started boxing here, and he was groomed right here before he went professional. He's been to the Olympics, 2012 Olympics, where he delivered the fastest knockout in that competition. He's doing well as a professional over there in the United States, and only recently he's moved over to Top Rank Promotions. This is an example of one of the many talents lying in waste over here in Nigeria. Nigeria should come back to this strong point in sports.
That's former heavyweight boxer Big John Sinubu. And Big John spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sportings, greetings to you sports fans. This is John Sinubu, a.k.a. the Big John, boxing analyst, boxing promoter here at Trier in River State, and former River State heavyweight boxing champion. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Keep it locked right here. Thank you.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo, and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the European club football beat, Barcelona will play Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League. It's a rematch of their classic encounter at the same stage a few years ago. In 2017, PSG wasted a 4-0 first leg lead by losing 6-1 at Barcelona in the second leg. Another round of 16 matchups after Monday's draw. Defending champion Bayern Munich is paired against the Italian club Lazio, which is returning to the knockout stage after a two-decade gap. Another Italian side, Atalanta, will take on 13-time European champion Real Madrid. Leipzig of Germany is matched against reigning English Premier League champion Liverpool. Also, superstar Cristiano Ronaldo will return to his native Portugal with Juventus for their first leg match against Porto. And the other round of 16 pairings, Borussia Mönchengladbach versus Manchester City. Atletico Madrid will play Chelsea, and Sevilla is matched against Borussia Dortmund. First leg matches are scheduled for February 16th and 17th, and February 23rd and 24th. The return leg matches will be March 9th and 10th, and March 16th and 17th. In African football, a former winger for Ghana's national team is now helping develop young players at the Right to Dream Academy in the capital, Accra. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra tells us more. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Spotted in dreadlocks, Lai Kinson was an exciting player to watch in his heyday, bombing down the right wing, taking players on, and had the skill and elegance of a gazelle. He's one of the few players to have represented Ghana at various youth levels before ultimately playing for the Black Stars. Off the field too, he had a social life that matched his incredibly daring playing style. These days, life is different. The dreads are off. The grey hairs have sprouted, disrupting the uniformity of the perfectly laid black hair he had before, and has become a coach for young footballers. Lai joined the coaching team at the Right to Dream Academy last year, where he has begun the development of young players for the harsh realities of professional football that lie ahead.
The moment I finished my football career, I said to myself, okay, I can do other things, but I can't live without the game of soccer, because that's something that I've done throughout my life. So I decided to go into football. And also, the second main thing is everything that I have passed throughout my career, it will be very nice for me to pass it on to up-and-coming generation. So
training session begins. The players are going through their paces, and the ball work is on top of the agenda on the session today. But Lai isn't just looking on. He is just as vocal as he was back in his playing days.
And then what? The fullback. He goes in, wide player goes, nine, attack the first pole, second pole. Yes, you can support for rebound.
Kingston explains the need for proper development of footballers at this age.
For me, I think this foundation, Right to Dream Academy, helped him a lot. You know, you can see how the effort the coaches have been putting in the young ones and all the training section. It's well planned. Not just training, but we all always train for purpose. So you can see it's very good for development as well.
The former Ghana winger is still on course to gaining his UEFA License B certificate that will enable him to take over professional clubs.
What I need as a coach is to win cups. You know, I wish one day, when the time comes and I have the opportunity to coach one of the big clubs, I'll be more than happy to go there. And then I love the challenge, you know. So, but for now, I'm with Right to Dream and I'm thinking about my development.
Lai's path to being a coach has been smooth. But for him, the enormous challenges of managing character and behaviors are what spur him on. He is on board the midnight train and the destination isn't too far away. From the Right to Dream Academy, this is Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Olympic champion wrestler Helen Maroulis celebrated her 29th birthday earlier this year. Meanwhile, you might say the sky is the limit for a 12-year-old skateboarding prodigy who is looking forward to making her Olympic debut in Tokyo next year. Sky Brown is ready to make history for the British Olympic team after suffering a horrific fall at the end of May. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, let's listen in again to a feature report by VOA's Gwen Uten. Gwen filed it after Sky's surgery in California. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. 12-year-old skateboard prodigy Sky Brown is on course to become Britain's youngest Olympian at the Tokyo Games. But on Monday, Skye was at a training session practicing the high-flying halfpipe when she overshot the ramp and fell 15 feet headfirst onto her hand. Skye was flown by helicopter to a California hospital, where she arrived unresponsive. She suffered a fractured skull and broken bones in her left hand, and her father told the BBC everyone feared for her life. Well, I am happy to report Sky is now out of the hospital just days after that horrific fall and is recovering well. And her strength and positivity were on full display in a video Sky posted on Instagram and YouTube from her hospital bed, where she reassured her fans she was doing okay.
I don't usually post my falls or talk about them, because I want people to see the fun in what I do. But this was my worst fall. And I just want everyone to know that. It's okay, don't worry, I'm okay. It's okay to fall sometimes. And I'm just gonna get back up and push even harder. I know there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, but I want everyone to know that whatever we do, just gonna do it with love and happiness.
Our thanks to Sky Brown for providing that audio. Sky has certainly been doing what she loves, with her eyes set on making her Olympic debut, along with the sport itself, at next year's Games. Skateboarding so far has traditionally been a male-dominated sport. But last year, Sky told Reuters News, if boys can do it, girls can do it too.
So I think girls can do anything that boys can do, or maybe even better. Yeah, and like, cause I feel like sometimes girls are scared to do what boys are doing, cause they're like, it's a boy sport, like I can do that, but actually you can do anything that boys can do.
Sky says she's now ready to show the world what she can do at the Olympic Games, but she first had to convince her parents, who initially thought competing in Tokyo would be too much pressure. But after Sky took home a bronze medal at the World Skateboarding Championships, her parents had a change of heart.
We weren't going to do the Olympics because my parents thought it was too much pressure. But then Team GB, Lucy Adams, she's like the boss of like this like skateboarding association. She said that there's no pressure, just get out there and have fun. And that's the way I skate. Like, I don't really think it's like a training thing. Like, I think it's like more of my happy place. Like, it's like a playground for me.
Sky's passion for the sport literally began on the playground. She started skateboarding in Japan when she was 3 or 4. And even before that, she says the skateboard was her favorite toy. Skateboarding legend and mentor Christian Hosoi has expressed praise for Sky's natural talent on the board. And he told Reuters she has unique qualities off the board as well.
I guess what would set her apart is just her wanting to help people, girls, not only in skateboarding, but off of the skateboard. You know, she's an amazing skateboarder, dancer. She's got a $1 million smile. She speaks well. But I think her philanthropy and what she does, you know, to help girls around the world to believe in themselves, to say, you know what? You can do it. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. I love to hear her messages like that. And for me, that's what I love about Sky, is she wants to change the world.
And Sky is doing what she can to help change the world with skateboard in hand. Besides spending one half of the year in Japan and the other half in the U.S. state of California, she has traveled to Cambodia with Skatistan, a nonprofit that empowers youth, particularly girls, in some of the poorest areas of the world through skateboarding and education.
Since I was little, I would go to like unprivileged places, and like I just like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I wanted to do something, because like I'm like I could easily be like there, like I just got lucky. So like I'm like, I want to do something, so I decided to design a skateboard, and I also designed a sock. So basically $10 from each of these skateboards go to the kids in Skatistan.
Besides Cambodia, the organization also runs youth empowerment skate schools in South Africa and Afghanistan. In fact, a short documentary about Skatistan's operation in Afghanistan won an Oscar this year, the highest award in America's film industry. Meanwhile, Sky has expressed hope that a trip to Tokyo will continue to inspire girls who will no doubt be watching.
Hopefully, like, that's why I want to be in the Olympics, to inspire girls and tell, like, hopefully when they see me, this little girl doing this crazy trick, hopefully when they see me, they'll be like, maybe I can do that too.
Sky will turn 13 just 11 days before the start of next year's games. And if she qualifies, she will break a 92-year record set by swimmer Margaery Hinton, who was 13 years and 43 days old when she competed at the Olympics in 1928. We here at the Sunny Side of Sports will keep an eye on Sky and hope she continues to have a very speedy recovery. And that is all from me. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Before she makes her Olympic debut in Tokyo, Sky Brown is becoming a shero for lots of girls. Barbie has chosen Sky as a Barbie role model by unveiling a one-of-a-kind doll in her likeness. Sky says, and I quote, "I'm going for gold in 2021 and nothing will stop me. Having a Barbie doll created in my likeness is one of the most incredible things that's ever happened to me. I hope other girls my age can see what is possible when you follow your dreams." And that wraps up the December 15th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.